following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
.906, happy St. Patty's Day to you. Much to get to in the show today. That's why we have the after show video now, because I guarantee there's going to be a lot of things we're not going to. This might be the longest after show video ever. Just a ton of stuff to get to, including either just before or after 9:30. Scott Walker appears in a public service announcement with Sesame Street characters, and the left goes nuts. And we'll have the latest Republican Governors Association ad concerning Mary Burke. Talk about the dynamic of that race, the Rasmussen poll, dead heat, all of that later in the show. We're going to start here. The legislative session is winding down. There are a number of bills that are on life support that we could talk about, but there are two that I want to focus in on to start the conversation we're going to have here. One is the one that we've talked about a lot on the show. That is changing the early voting days and hours and the fate of that bill. And the other is a bill concerning forcing insurance to pay for oral chemo treatment that they now don't. That could be very, very costly. Joining us to discuss those and other issues on the phone is Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Robin, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Same to you. All right, let's start with the early voting bill. As everybody is aware, it has passed the Senate. It would create uniform 8A to 7P, no weekends for early voting. For my money, we could go back to Election Day being when you vote, but that's never going to happen, and I understand that. So I'm generally okay with this. Word is, Robin, that and Scott Fitzgerald said this as soon as it came out of the Senate, that its fate in the Assembly was uncertain because there was a provision added that would cost about $200,000 to have the state pay half the expenses for outstate or rural municipalities offering early voting. Word late last week is that you have a problem with that, and because of your personal problem with that $200,000, that you wouldn't be supporting this. Is that accurate?
No, that's not accurate. But yes, I do have concerns about the money that they allocated in there. First of all, the Assembly already passed early voting last fall. We are strongly supportive of it. Our bill was actually a little bit more restrictive than the one that the Senate passed. We were going to be 7:30 in the morning until 6 o'clock, so a similar number of hours, but doing it earlier in the day so people could do it before they went to work. The Senate added on an amendment that, yes, it would provide 50% of the cost to rural municipalities, but it would actually do it for everybody. So it wouldn't just be areas that haven't done in the past. It would be state taxpayers paying the cost of Madison, Milwaukee, all these big cities to increase the number of people who are early voting. So I don't necessarily have a problem with that. It's just that, number one, we have no idea what the actual cost is. That estimate was just a back of the napkin. It wasn't done by the Fiscal Bureau to know what it actually is. So before I said, yes, we're just going to pass it with the amendment the Senate put on, I think we should know what the cost to taxpayers is going to be and then make a decision based on those calculations.
Okay. Here's one way of looking at this, though. So one, you're not convinced that 200,000 is the total number, because one way of looking at this, I think this legislation is critical, and whatever the cost is the greater good getting these uniform hours and ending the nonsense that happened in Milwaukee and Dane counties. I mean, obviously, if it's $20 million, Robin, I would understand, but is it going to be so much to make it worth killing the whole thing?
Well, that's why I think in the end we will definitely pass another version. So the question is whether we'll pass it with the money appropriated or whether we'll pass their entire bill without the money. It's not a question of whether or not we support it. It's just trying to do it in the way that's the most effective.
But if you
over the weekend, I had long discussions with Senator Grossman, who's been a strong proponent of this bill, along with Representative Strobel, and want to make sure that everybody is on the same page, along with Governor Walker, who hasn't really indicated a position on the bill either way.
Yeah, he hasn't said what he would do with it. But if you don't pass this version, is there time to get it through again?
Oh, sure. I mean, the Assembly is in Tuesday and Thursday this week. The Senate is in Tuesday and then again on April 1st. So whatever we do, I am not going to pass a bill and just kick it over to the Senate and have them kill it. I want to sit down with Senator Ellis, who was the author of the proposal, to put the money in to pay for this early voting proposal and see where he is on the idea. And then at the end of the day, make sure something gets signed into law. That's my number one goal.
All right. So you are convinced that somehow you'll come to agreement with this on the Senate and get this done?
Definitely.
Okay. Second, and this one is getting a lot of headlines yesterday and into today as we talk with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. The headline of the Journal Sentinel, Wisconsin senators heavily support cancer drug bill, no vote plan. Here's essentially what they say, and I'm going to start with not your house, the Senate. More than two-thirds of GOP senators and four-fifths of the state Senate now publicly support a bipartisan bill to help cancer patients get critical treatments, but the measure is still being blocked by the head of the House. That's Scott Fitzgerald over in the Senate. They describe it as the unusual steps to block the proposal because a majority of his GOP caucus opposes it, not because his brother, former Speaker Fitzgerald, is lobbying on behalf of influential insurers to kill the bill. Anyway, the crux of the story is that the votes are there in both your house, the Assembly, and in Scott's house, the Senate, but you're both blocking it even though the votes are there. Is that true or false?
Well, I don't know if the votes are there in the Assembly, quite frankly, because we have not had a caucus discussion on it. In the Senate, I saw the advocacy journalism that the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was doing. They were definitely doing more of a sell job as opposed to reporting on the facts, which is why they have gone to such lengths to try to make it seem like that this bill has got widespread support. There are serious questions about whether or not the bill is a good idea. Now, let's just start with the assumption, Jerry, that everybody supports the idea of trying to get people treatment for cancer. The difficulty is in the way that you pay for it and the way that you mandate it. So there are four kinds of insurance in Wisconsin: Medicare for older people, Medicaid for the poor, self-insured plans, which are large employers, and then insurance, which covers small employers. The only people that this would cover are those small businesses who are really the ones facing the brunt of all the mandates and the cost from Obamacare. So many of us question, at a time when the health insurance market is in such flux, why we would put more costs onto small businesses who are already trying to feel their way through the Obamacare debacle. Number two, this bill is really being pushed because there is only one drug company that primarily makes this drug. They are helping to fund the advocacy efforts because if this mandate is passed, you now have a guaranteed revenue source for that drug company. And lastly, we know that this treatment is significantly more expensive. Now, is it easier for patients to take? Of course it is, which is why it's utilized in many circumstances if it's approved by the insurance company. But to just say we're going to take a treatment that costs 10 times as much as opposed to the way it does in the traditional way of delivering chemotherapy and not have it raise insurance premiums also doesn't seem to be accurate. So I think there's a whole lot of facts that have gotten brushed aside with this discussion, seeming to try to make it a case that Senator Fitzgerald doesn't want to do it because of his brother. I know for a fact that it's absolutely false, and that's why even Democrats have said that that's not a fair charge.
Okay, we can debate whether or not it's a good idea, but the Journal Sentinel reports that in the Assembly, 18 Republicans have sponsored it, and probably nearly or all 39 Democrats would vote for it. Good idea or bad idea, why not bring it to a vote?
Well, first of all, I don't believe that we should be moving things to the floor that don't have the overwhelming support of the majority in the Republican caucus. That's the way that we have always operated the Assembly. We pass bills with Republican votes. We don't pass bills with Democratic votes. The Senate has their own way of operating, but that's why we are focusing on topics that have broad bipartisan support. 95% of the bills that we passed in the Assembly passed with Democrats and Republicans working together. So at the end of the session, of course, Democrats try to score political points to make it seem like Republicans are evil and that we want to hurt people. That couldn't be further from the truth, which is why we've done things like the mental health task force to deal with issues that are pretty serious for families. We're going to take a bill up on Tuesday, which deals with cannabis oil, which is something to help kids who have seizures. So we're trying to work across the aisle and find bipartisan solutions. Unfortunately, Democrats are trying to do the opposite, which is to try to make partisan points.
But 18 Republican sponsors isn't inconsequential, is it?
No, it's not inconsequential. But don't forget, we have 60 Republicans in the Assembly. So if we don't have the majority of Republicans in our caucus supporting it, a bill doesn't usually move to the floor.
All right. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, one other question. Just as the session winds down, and there has been a lot of discussion about this, and I know you've answered this question a number of times, but not on this show. The suggestion is that there has been less than a smooth relationship between the Assembly leadership, that would be you, and the Senate leadership, and that would be Scott Fitzgerald. Do you think that has been overstated, or have as it seems to appear, the two houses have been at odds at times this session?
No, we have been at odds, and I think that's just a healthy part of the process. Look, Scott Fitzgerald is a friend of mine. We talk on a regular basis. He has his own caucus, much more moderate. I have my own caucus, much more conservative. We each have a vision for Wisconsin of what the Republican Party should look like. And the vast majority of time, we agree. I believe that we should have gone further with tax cuts. I believe that we should be more aggressive in trying to do things like reforming voter ID to guarantee that we have it in place for the fall. I mean, I can go on with a litany of issues that we agree on in concept, but it's just the details that we always have frustrating conversations with. At the end of the day, we're all Republicans. We all believe Governor Walker needs to get reelected, and that's why sometimes the media overplays those. But I don't want to be disingenuous and say that there haven't been circumstances where we disagreed, but it's just simply political policy as opposed to some sort of personal problem.
Hey, you brought up something I do want to tack on, just because you brought up photo ID, and Governor Walker has said that he would look at a special session if necessary, you know, kind of a preemptive strike, and I believe it's going to be struck down, by the way, but if the state Supreme Court doesn't, Lynn Edelman will, and you know, to look at a revised bill. Several, including me, have asked, Robin, why not just do exactly what Indiana did? It passed Supreme Court muster. You take that bill and you just duplicate it, and there should be no threat. Do that, and there should be no threat of a challenge.
That's a good point at the federal level. And that's why the bill that we passed last fall makes a lot of the changes that were based on the Indiana model. But the Wisconsin Constitution, the state constitution, is actually much more expansive in giving people the opportunity to vote than the Indiana state constitution is. So we have some issues at the state Supreme Court as well, and that's why I believe the version that we passed, with every Republican voting for it in the Assembly, is a good compromise to deal with both the federal and the state court issues, so that we could have it in place by the fall. The Senate's refused to take it up. That's another one of those areas where we disagree. They want to wait and see what happens with the court. I am very fearful that we'll come back in the summer and now have to deal with an election issue right before we go to the polls. If we do that, of course, I will definitely support that because I strongly support photo ID, but I'd rather deal with it before we leave the session as opposed to waiting for courts to act and then coming back this summer.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you on that, and I see no logic in all waiting for what I think is the obvious.
I agree with you, and that's where I'm going to still work with my Republican colleagues in the Senate to try to bring our bill forward, and if they have some changes that they think they want to make to improve it, of course I'm open to listening to that, but to just fold their hands and say they're going to wait for the court to act, I don't think that's a wise strategy.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Jerry. I always enjoy it.
I appreciate it. I'm going to comment on some of that in 5 minutes. It's 9:19.
Jerry Bader Show.